casting out unclean spirits, healing mother-in-laws, and healing masses today on the Midweek Move. Hello, welcome to the Midweek Move, podcast extension of the Healing Places, the podcast where we examine the scriptures line by line, verse by verse, and ask ourselves, what is happening here? And today, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited beyond belief, because today, ladies and gentlemen, I am joined by my beautiful bride, Celeste.
Hi.
How you doing, baby love?
I'm good.
I am so excited to have you here with us today as we examine the Word of God together.
Yeah.
So.
And people actually get to watch us do it.
Right.
Because, like, this is the thing we do at home, but.
Right.
Not a.
This is real life. Right, like this is an example of what happens in our day-to-day life of just talking about the Bible together.
Minus the mics.
Yeah. We don't normally have mics when we're talking about the Bible together.
I mean, sometimes, but so, not all the time.
That's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other thing. Everyone's going to be going, what?
Well, I think a lot of the people know who we are.
Oh, that's true.
And so, anyways, let's jump into it, ladies and gentlemen. We're in Luke chapter 4, wrapping up Luke 4 today. I'm excited about it. We've been in it for a hot minute, which is good. I don't know. You're a more of a listener of the show. Have you enjoyed the pacing we've been doing through this?
So I am behind.
Oh, okay.
I am still in Jude because there's a lot to Jude, and so I've been processing it. So I'll listen to a few minutes and I will process, and I will listen to a few minutes and I will process. But on a whole, I generally like the pace,
right?
Because there's a lot.
Yeah, there is. I'm glad that you pointed that. Like, there's like, even though we hit like a whole thing, you guys don't have to keep the pace with us. Like, guys can dig in and go deeper and ask questions if you want to and everything like that. It's funny because I just realized that I don't really ask you your opinion on the most recent episodes. I just
assumed that I listened.
I mean, you could, which you do, but I just do. Your pacing. That's cool. So let's jump into this one. We're in Luke chapter 4, ladies and gentlemen. Down here in verse 31 and 32, it says this. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now, what's happening here is, after the incident in his hometown, Jesus heads to Capernaum. Now, the language here that he went down, this is actually really interesting because it shows that Luke knows what he's talking about, basically.
Yeah.
Because the Capernaum was literally, elevation-wise, down from where he was at originally.
You know, I don't think I ever thought about that because I am from the South, and so everything is just a little bit down that way.
It's true. It's true.
Just down there. Like, so it didn't occur to me that it legitimately was down.
Yeah, it was down. So the original readers, they're going, yeah, that makes sense. It would be down. You got to go downhill to get to Capernaum.
Yeah.
So it adds to that. It's one of those internal proofs that Luke is not just writing just stuff, but he's done the research. He understands the typography, and the audience would have had recognized what's taking place. Now, another interesting thing here is some of the vocabulary takes place about people being amazed at Jesus' teachings.
Yeah.
Some translations point out that the Greek used here is actually better translated as his word possessed authority.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is an interesting statement.
I do too.
The fact that there's authority within what Jesus is saying, and that's what gave amazement to the people. So the question for you, Celeste, is why is it important that Jesus' teachings weren't just fascinating to the people who were there, but that it carried authority for them?
I think it's a thing of it was good that it was fascinating, but I can tell a really good story.
Yeah.
Do I know what I'm talking about? Probably not, but I can spin you a good yarn.
Right.
So it's the fact that he carried authority means that they were going, he's real sure about this. He knows what he's talking about. Kind of helped it resonate in them. I can talk all day long about craft stuff, about how to make something with yarn. That is my thing. That is what I have authority in. But if you were trying to explain it to someone,
it would be terrible.
It would be bad.
I'd be like, you stab it and you wrap it and then you pull it and then you do it again and you make a string and somehow it becomes a dinosaur. I don't know.
Yeah. we have a few dinosaurs in our house. That's a very good way to say that, but it's not exactly technically accurate.
They're not going to know what I'm saying if I do that. And that's the thing is Jesus, he's speaking with authority. They're going, we can trust what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, and because it also would resonate with what they already knew, because mm-hmm. the Jewish culture of the time very much was we need to study.
Yeah.
We need to know what's going on. And so they knew the word. Mm-hmm. They knew it. And so for Jesus to present it with such authority means, he knows it better than I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to point out the fact, this isn't the first time that we've seen this. Jesus as a child, mm-hmm. as a 12-year-old, was amazing the scholars in the temple.
He wasn't a child. That's a Jewish man.
He was 12.
That isn't 12?
13.
Isn't 12 when they do the bar mitzvah?
13.
Oh, never mind. He was almost a man. At 12.
All right, let's continue on, guys. Verse 33 through 35 says this. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice saying, "Let us alone!" I'm yelling. Hopefully there's not too much in the recording here. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. So while Jesus is teaching, a possessed demon, a man that's possessed by demons, comes out on the scene and is challenging Jesus to a degree. He's like, "What are you doing here? What's your point of being here in this space?" kind of thing. And now what's interesting here is Jesus doesn't deal with him. He just silences the guy. He goes, too quiet.
Shush.
Stop talking and get out. He doesn't allow anything else to take place with this demon. Now, this actually establishes a pattern with Jesus. Mm-hmm. The fact that he doesn't allow anyone, demonic or not, and we're going to see that again next week, actually, or next couple of weeks. But demonic or not, to proclaim that he is the divine Christ mm-hmm. publicly. So question for you, Celeste. Why is Jesus so concerned about keeping this portion of his identity hidden at this point in time?
It's one of those things of he needed all the time that he could get. Mm. So he knew that he had a limited time to do things. And so if, you know, week one or week two, even week 20 into his ministry on earth, if somebody had gone, "He's the Christ," everybody would have freaked out and it would have steamrolled things much quicker than it already happened.
Yeah.
And so it would have been really problematic.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is that I think that, how do I put this? God has a very distinct timeline how things mm-hmm. should take place. And there are a lot of things Jesus was supposed to do prophetically through his ministry. Yeah. And it needed to happen in God's timing. And there's a lot of people that you're out there, you're like, "I want this now. God's promised me this. Why can't I have this?" God's building things.
Yeah.
At this point in time, Jesus is just beginning. We have no walking on water situation. We have several things. The disciples haven't even been taught properly how to go out and to reach the masses yet.
If Jesus had been crucified at this point, the people that he left behind would not have had the foundation mm-hmm. to build the church that we have today.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying it would have fallen apart because God would have made a way, mm-hmm. but it might not have been as strong.
Right. It wouldn't be what God wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Not that he would allow it to happen that way. But that's the thing is, like, for those of you guys listening, you're like, "I want this now. There's this thing I feel like God's promised me." There's seasons you have to walk in to develop the foundation for you to be where you need to be. Now, some of it, I'm not going to lie, some people, they hold themselves back.
Yeah.
They've made poor decisions. They're not doing what they need to do. But if you are submitting yourself to God, you're walking what you need to do, you're being responsible, God's going to take care of you, but you got to get through the process first. For Jesus, that process included 33 years of walking on earth, and some of it was really, really rough for him. All right, verse 36 says this. Now they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report of him went out unto every place in the surrounding region. Now, the people were amazed once again at Jesus' authority in the situation. But now we see it's not just the authority in the word alone, but the power that comes with the authority that brings amazement. Mm-hmm. So before it was just, wow, we're amazed at the authority of your teaching.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But now it's like, things are happening. Like, people are, the demons coming out of people. What's going on? Like, they're amazed at not one item, but both items at the same time. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, why is it important for Luke to point out that Jesus' authority goes beyond words and into action as well? Why are these two things important together?
I think that comes back to the conversation about his authority in general, mm-hmm. of speaking with authority. Mm-hmm. It's not just some, he's making things up. It's, he actually has the authority to do these things.
Right.
That, and I mean, who knows how long this poor person had been demon possessed,
right.
and how many people had tried, mm-hmm. and failed to get the demon out of this man because they didn't have the power that Jesus had.
Right.
They didn't have the power that even we have nowadays. So it's one of those things of, it needed to be both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think that's, translating that to today, some people, they, how do I put this? There are those who, they rely too much on physical manifestations of the work of God.
Yeah.
They rely too much on, I need to see things. And Jesus rebukes mm-hmm. people for that at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, there are people who, man, they don't even look at the physical walkout. Mm-hmm. They don't look, and I'm not talking about just miracles. And that is a thing. We completely affirm. The miracles happen today. Holy Spirit moves and people can be healed and set free, all kinds of stuff. But the just the physical actions of you living the life you're supposed to live as a Christian, mm-hmm. the day-to-day life, that's important.
We were having a conversation with a friend of ours mm-hmm. in a Discord chat, and they had a thought, and they went, why does no one treat salvation mm-hmm. like a miracle? Mm. Why does no one treat salvation like it is a miracle?
Right.
Because if someone is atheistic or even an agnostic, and they come to the saving realization of Christ,
right.
how is that less of a miracle mm-hmm. than someone who gets up out of a wheelchair and walks?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not.
No.
They're both miracles that only could happen through God's power.
Right.
But we almost discredit the salvation mm-hmm. by not being as excited about it.
Yeah. I'll never forget years ago when I was in college. And for those, I went to a Christian college and we were having chapel service and somebody got up and they made this amazing declaration of people getting saved, making professions of faith at an event. And people were like, oh, cool. Yay. And then they're like, and we had so many people and they're like, they talked about some of these miraculous things took place and people were like, hallelujah, that's awesome. Woo! And everyone's like, you know, I remember sitting going, what?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening here? Like, why? I mean, that's good.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The stuff is, the healings that took place and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was amazing. It's fantastic. We should celebrate that. But equally, just like mm-hmm. what you were saying, people getting saved.
It's one of those things of people don't get excited about it. Now, there are some people, I say people, don't get excited. As a general whole, people don't get excited. Mm. You and I, we get excited. People think we're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but we get excited. We have friends who get excited, mm-hmm. but I guess because by the time you become a believer, by the time you're in a situation where you can hear about other people's salvations, mm-hmm. it becomes commonplace.
Yeah.
Whereas miracles mm-hmm. are not.
Right. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. That was kind of off point from what we're talking about, but not at the same time.
I mean, it works.
It works. But yeah, so going back to here. So people were amazed at Jesus' teaching ability and the miraculous coming out of his life.
Too. Yeah.
All right, so that's where we're at. Now let's continue on. We're in verse Where did I leave off? We're in 38, Celeste?
Yeah, we're in 38.
All right. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. So we go from a very public event of there's a man that's possessed by a demon, and Jesus is like, nope, out, be gone, in that second place. But now we're going to a very private one. He goes from the synagogue to the private residence of a good friend whose mother-in-law is sick. It's a small, quiet thing, not a big deal. And he goes, oh, be healed. And she is. She gets up and she starts to take care of things.
Which that in and of itself is just as miraculous as the healing, because when you get better from being sick, you don't feel like going and cooking.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what she did.
She did.
So, but what's interesting is that this seems to show that Jesus is not concerned about the venue in which he does the miraculous things.
Yeah.
He's concerned about the people themselves, the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing this model of Jesus' ministry, of being concerned about individuals, how should we as believers act just in general?
We need to be the same behind closed doors and behind, or not behind, but in front of people. Mm-hmm. There has to be some continuity mm-hmm. between who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not saying that you have to be exactly the same. I do my best to be more talkative when I am with people.
Right.
And when I am home, I might talk to you. I might just go, I need a moment to introvert. Thank you. So, not saying that, but just the integrity. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
Having integrity of who you are in front of people and who you are behind closed doors. It's also interesting to me that it was a friend of the family, because that's a good example of how we should treat our friends.
Yeah.
Can't get so obsessed or so wrapped up in what we're doing in front of people that we forget what's important.
Yeah.
We forget our family. We forget our friends. We forget the people that God has placed in our lives to take care of us
mm-hmm.
and for us to take care of them.
Right.
And if you're not taking care of them, then you're not doing part of your job.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's an important thing, is taking care of those who are close to you in some fashion. We have friends who we love dearly, and they're always like, oh, but you guys are busy. Yes, but everyone's busy.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, how can we do it? We want to hear how we can pray with you. We want to hear how we can help you, if we can help you. And that's another thing. I think part of it is people have gotten disappointed because people are like, we'll be there for you no matter what. And
that's a dangerous phrase.
And they can't. And and when there's that failure, then people are like, well, they won't help me because they got this going on. They're being mm-hmm. understanding, because it's understandable why somebody can't just step out and do certain things.
Right.
I've gotten a habit, I don't know if you've picked up on this recently, where I'll say, we will be there if we can.
Yeah.
If we can help you, we will do our best to help you.
Yeah.
And that's not me making a cop out, but it's just me being honest, because I don't want someone to go, well, you said reasonable expectations.
Right.
Hear my heart. I want to be there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be able to, you know, if we have person A and they're, you know, busted up and they're hurting, but you're busted up and hurting, you're my priority.
Yes.
As my beautiful bride.
And this is how we keep a happy marriage.
Take care of your spouses first, and you move on. But we do our best to reach out to the people we can.
Right.
And so have some reasonable stuff. You know, there are things that, you know, I will take care of my mom and my sister before I help other people.
Right.
I'll take care of your family before I help other people. Why? Right. Because there's an order of things.
Right, right.
And, you know, situations and whatnot. But here Jesus is. He's in this room, and he's like, hey, let me help you guys out.
Right.
He's present. He's already there. It doesn't say why he went to their house. It wasn't that they took him there to The way that I'm reading it doesn't sound like, hey, Jesus, my mother-in-law's not feeling good. Can you come over real quick? He was going to the house because this is where...
I would assume that they were going to eat dinner.
This is post-church lunchtime. You know what I'm saying? We had a great time in the synagogue. Let's go back home. Let's relax. And, mother-in-law's, let's take care of business. You're not feeling good in the moment. Let's handle it. Example of just that. In real time... Last week.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to get real, real close to home for you and I. You weren't feeling well.
I had
some heartburn issues going on.
Oh, God, yeah.
You weren't sleeping.
I was not. I did not sleep. That was not fun.
And it's the middle of night, and I realize you're still awake.
Yeah.
And so I just lay my hand on you. I go, Lord, heal my wife. Take away this pain.
That was the gist of it. There might have been some pauses in there.
I fell back asleep.
Yeah.
But I was concerned enough to go, I need to take care of my wife.
I did not at the time even know if you realized what you were doing.
I was conscious enough to know that you were not well and I needed to pray for you. So I laid my hand on you. I prayed for you. I fell back asleep and you got better. You went to sleep. It was great. Mazel. But like, woo-hoo. it was in a moment thing. It's like, let's handle it now.
Yeah. And it's almost like sometimes people think that they need to make such a big deal about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's as simple as going, hey, let me pray over that right now.
Yeah. And that has to be some bigger, heavenly grandfather of the sky. We don't need to do that.
No. So Scott said something years ago, and I don't know if he even remembers that he said it, but he said from the pulpit that when he gets a text for somebody to pray for them, he prays right then.
Yeah.
Because he cannot guarantee he will remember to do it when he goes to have his prayer time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just how I've started approaching life is that, okay, let me pray over that right now. I may not remember.
Yeah.
Later. There might be a squirrel. Hello.
There might be a squirrel. You know who's really good at that? And taking care of that? Rick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pastor Rick. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Rick, he's our pastoral care pastor. He's also our finance director here. And he's our producer for the show normally. He's really good. People in there are talking to him stuff. He's like, well, let's pray right now. And like, I don't care what it is. He's like, let's go. Boom. And he'll pray for people right there.
I can see him doing that.
He's great at it. All right. Let's rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen. We are powering through this.
Yeah.
See where I'm at. We're in verse 40.
You and I talk quickly.
We do sometimes. All right. When the sun was setting, and those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So evening has come, sunset has happened, and more people are coming out to have Jesus heal their loved ones. Now, interesting note, some commentators note that the mention of sunset may suggest that they had waited to the end of the Sabbath when they lawfully could carry their loved ones to get help. Because that was the thing, part of the Sabbath, you couldn't, it was considered work, you couldn't do certain things. This does not necessarily mean that the events of Luke 4, 16 through 29 occurred at the same day, in the same day as this passage. Because if you guys remember that one, that was the Sabbath also.
Yeah.
And it's when you're reading this stuff, sometimes it's easy for us to glaze through and go, this is all at the same time.
Right.
And we forget there's a passage. The distance from Nazareth to Capernaum alone was further than a law-abiding Jewish man could travel. So Jesus could not...
Oh, you mean on the Sabbath?
Yeah, on the Sabbath.
Okay.
The further they could... But Jesus could not travel from Nazareth to Capernaum in that day appropriately. So that said, it does show the heart of the people in this city. They are, in a way, living out what Jesus speaks about in Mark 12. They love the Lord their God with their heart by honoring the Sabbath, the Shabbat, but they love their neighbors as themselves, in that as soon as they possibly could, they carried their loved ones to be healed. As soon as they possibly could do that, they made a way.
And it's almost like God was honoring of that by going, yeah, go ahead. Because it says everyone, everyone who came, not 50%, not 20%, like everybody who came. And that's like, that's a big deal, because I'm sure there was a lot of people who were sick. They did not have Dial soap, people.
No. Oh, my gosh.
No scrubbing bubbles.
That's it. So now this is an interesting thing about that. In your personal life, so I just want to ask you this.
Yeah.
As not just a leader, but also as a simple follower of Jesus, how do you find the balance between honoring God with your personal time, but also honoring him by caring for others?
So balance is a hard thing. It just is, because you want to do all the things. We would have absolutely no money if I was to give as much as I wanted to give. I just would. I would see somebody who needed it, and I'd be like, here, I have money. Take it. We would not have any place to live or have lights or food, because I'd be like, here, you need this.
Yeah.
Because it'd be in the moment. So it's a hard thing, because it's going, I can't do that right now. I can't give that person money because I have bills.
Right.
But at the same time, not going, well, I'm going to keep all the money for me. I'm going to keep it all for myself and not let anybody else have it, because I'm being good with what God gave me and not do anything with it. It's like the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
There's balance here in between those things of, you find the middle ground of, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're also doing what you can.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing is, again, the for the Jewish people, for them, it was like, we're going to honor, God told us not to move. We have, like, they could move, but there were boundaries that they wanted to do. And that's the thing is, you have to have a word from the Lord to do certain things, obviously.
Yeah.
But give God first his due.
Yeah.
And he'll make a way for you to take care of what you need to take care of. So, good stuff. All right, 42 through 44. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. So we end this chapter with Jesus simply stating basically his purpose. He isn't meant to stay in that one place, but he must go out. The Greek there suggests that it was an irresistible pull. It wasn't just like, I feel like I need to do this. It was like, there's a burning inside that says, I have to go. I cannot stay here. That he needed to go and bring hope, bring people. I was part of his purpose in life. So our question for you, Celeste, as we wrap this up today, often it's easy to sit in a place because it feels comfortable to be like, okay, well, we're good to go here. But at the same time, it's easy to believe that you have to move somewhere else just because things have become too uncomfortable, or even if you've become complacent. And there's a battle. Some people, they just got this kind of like this ADD squirrel mode. They've always got to be doing something, but it's not actually God.
Yeah.
They're just with good intentions. I'm not accusing anybody of not having good intentions.
Right.
But with pure, clean hands and a pure heart, God's going to bless it. But you just, it's you. It's not the Holy Spirit. So how do you discern between understanding the pull to move forward to do something else or do something new within what you're doing, and simply the flesh suggesting that you need to do something else?
That's when it's important to have people in your life who will hear from God and will also tell you what they've heard from God, even if it's telling you, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, we have a friend who will go, you're being dumb. Like, they're not trying to be rude, but it's going to come out very bluntly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they pray for us on a regular basis. So we can trust them and go, hey, we are feeling this.
Yeah.
or I'm feeling this. What do you think?
Yeah.
And they will give us their honest answer.
Right.
So I think too many people want to get people around them that tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And when you're in a situation like this, where it might be something that's good, but it's not something that's best. And so
all things are permissible and all things are beneficial.
Right. Right. And so having someone who can go, no. A good example of this is that we have a joke with our ministry, Geek Devotions, of Celeste says no more podcasts.
Yes.
Because we have quite a few podcasts and we've reached our limit. And every time anybody says something about, let's do a podcast, I'm going, no.
It's true. Managing time and spaces. That's good though. No, that's good advice though. Like you need people in your life to go, hey, you know, I feel like this is this. But that takes even making sure you have people in your life that are invested.
Yeah.
People that genuinely care about you, that help you walk that. And that takes you allowing them into your life. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are like, I got nobody. Well, you don't let anybody into your life. You haven't allowed people to do that.
Yeah. Well, and it's also not just having one person. So in my life, I have maybe three or four women who I will go to when I'm praying about something or when we need prayer, that because I know they will pray for me.
Yeah.
And I know that they will tell me what the Lord's saying, even if it may not be what I want to hear.
Yeah.
They'll do it nicely, but they'll do it.
Right.
I know you have a few people like that, because sometimes, and this is important, that the person will become too involved. The person I was talking about wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get people who are too involved in your life.
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, no, that would be great. That'll work so good for you. That'll be fantastic. And while it will be, it's not what the Lord's actually saying.
Yeah. They have a lot of zeal for you as a person, but they don't have the wisdom to say, what is the Lord saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And so even having multiple perspectives. Of different types of people is important. But again, you have to let people in. You have to let them do that.
Exactly. I think there's this mindset that people have that, you know, well, that somebody should just be able to come in, and if it's really the Lord, then I'll just know. You won't.
No.
You're still a person who has flesh, and the flesh still says, I don't like being told no.
You know, I felt the Spirit of the Lord tell me that we need to get pizza rolls and cook them in the oven tonight. That's what had to happen. It's Jesus.
Yeah. No.
No, it's my stomach.
It's your stomach. that's a real life conversation happening.
That's a silly example, but it's
applicable. You're
it's
right.
Applicable.
And again, not that it's not something malicious. It's not bad. It's just you're hungry or you're tired or you're dealing with life situations and you're just like, I'm just ready to throw everything. We have friends who They're in very stressful situations, and then like every other week, they're just like, I'm ready to just burn the world to the ground. It's like, it's not this bad. It's just that you're stressed.
Yeah.
Like,
and everything looks worse when you're stressed.
Exactly.
Everything looks worse when you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
God legitimately told Elijah, here, have a Snickers and take a nap.
Wasn't a Snickers, but yeah.
Wasn't a Snickers. I don't think Snickers are kosher, but. I don't think so either.
If you're listening to this, are Snickers kosher? Let us know.
Probably not. Oh, but there is something to be said about being in the right mindset when you're making decisions.
Yeah.
Which again is why it's good to have people around you. And it's also good to not just jump into things.
Yeah.
So
100%. Good stuff. Well, guys, we want to hear from you. How's this encouraging? Is it challenging? Do you have any questions? Reach out to us, mediahub@thbstreetport.com, or you can comment on the YouTube video or our Facebook page. Look for Midweek Move. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, have a great week.